Welcome to 2016. David's changed songs on me. And I don't know, but what this last song that he sang applies even better to what I'm about to say than the one that was sung in first service. They both applied, but this one may have been, well, it's just as well, if not even better. 2016, I want you to think about something with me for just a second. Welcoming you to 2016, God's already here. I go back to a statement that was made by one of my professors when I was at David Lipscomb. And he was talking about the burning bush when Moses saw something new. He saw something he had never seen before. Something no one else had ever seen before. And as he went to that burning bush, three lessons. God's already there. God has something for me to do, and God will help me do it. And God's already here. He's been in 2016 since before the world was ever made. He's already in 2017. He's already in the time, the day, and the year when he's going to send Jesus back. He knows exactly what's going to occur. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And he has a plan. And he is at work. And this year already, with whatever comes. And he's already told us what that plan is. To work out everything that occurs in this world to our good. To move us closer to him. I want you to just think about it for just a second. In the life of one individual and one event in that life. To see and understand a little bit about what I'm talking about in connection with this, being in 2016 with God already here. Holding to Jesus' hand, what's that like? To walk through 2016 holding to God's hand, what's that like? What was it like for Jesus? Holding to God's hand led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. God knew he was going. God intended for him to go. It was God's plan and God's desire for him to go. And God used it to demonstrate his faithfulness and to demonstrate his life. But the one that hallmarks at all is the death of Jesus on the cross. It would be inaccurate to say that he was the most righteous of men, and yet it would not be inaccurate. But the more accurate statement would be he was total righteousness, not just more than others. He was absolute and total righteousness. He was absolute and total faithfulness to God. He was absolute and total goodness. And God came among us and we killed him. We put him to death on the cross. Where was God and why wasn't he holding his hand? But he was. He was holding his hand through every step of the way. God knew it was going to occur. God intended for it to occur. God had planned before the world was ever made for it to occur. Because it was God's way of moving us closer to him. Causing all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord. We're going to look back on the years that are past and think about all the bad things that have happened. But the question is, have you moved closer to God? Has it made you more reliant upon him? More attuned to his word? And more focused on doing his will? That's what it was designed to do. How's it working with you? How will it work for you in 2016? as we go into this new year. One of the things that we do when we come into a new year is to make resolutions. I stopped making resolutions because I was making the same ones over and over and over again. But we have a tendency to do that, don't we? I was mentioning to Jane when we were up, what was that, Thursday night? Was that New Year's Eve? When we were up Thursday night, we were watching the ball fall in New York. And I like watching it fall in New York so I can go on to bed and sleep in the new year here. But I was watching it fall in New York. And it's the same thing that I've taken a glimpse at every year. And every year I have the same reaction and the same response. It's the same people that are celebrating in the same way the incoming of the year that's just going out. But now they're celebrating that year being over and a new one coming in. And we have this opportunity to start over. We have this opportunity for a new beginning. And it's not just a yearly thing, as we're going to see in a minute. It's every moment that you live is your opportunity to start over and your opportunity to renew yourself. It's every day that we live and every moment of every day, not just once a year. But the thing about us as human beings, the reason why we're so glad that that year is gone and this new one is here, is because now we have the chance to have a good life and good year and everything go our way. And we wind up doing the same things we've done every year all of our life, and we get the same result, and we don't know what's going on, and we forget that definition of insanity. And here we are coming into 2016. So rather than thinking about resolutions this morning, I'd like for us to think about the one thing we want to make sure we do not do. The one thing we make sure does not happen with us. So what is that? Well, instead of focusing on resolutions, let's focus on what not to do. And to do that, we look at this one word, unbelief. But we need to have this word defined for us. If our focus is going to make sure that I don't become an unbeliever, that I make sure I do not take the steps toward unbelief, then what is it that I need to be doing? The first thing that needs to happen is I need to understand what evil is. We call a lot of things evil that are not necessarily evil. And the Bible helps us with a definition of exactly what evil is. And it's in the very next verse from where our scripture reading took place in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. And the very next verse, verse 12, says this: "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Now, the question I want you to ask yourself as you look at that verse: how many things are being said about the heart? Is it one thing or two things? It's one thing. What is an evil heart? It's an unbelieving heart. And the phrase unbelieving heart is just used to describe what it means to have an evil heart. An evil heart is an unbelieving heart. Why is it evil and why is it unbelieving? Because it's moved away from the living God. So what is evil? We even have philosophers, especially apologetic philosophers, who are describing it this way today. They understand in science that there may not really be anything such as cold, although you're in our building this morning, you certainly understand there's no cold here. At least that's what Lindsay says. The rest of us may be a little cool, but Lindsay says there's no cold in here. But cold is simply the absence of heat. And the more you reduce heat, the more you feel cold, because it's the absence of heat. So evil is the absence of God. And it's been that way from the very beginning. By the absence of God, I don't mean that God ceases to exist. It's not about God's existence. It's about me and my relationship to God. So from the very beginning, evil entered into this world because Eve set aside what God said. She had an evil, unbelieving heart because she ignored what God said. She paid no attention to it. She ignored it and did what she wanted to do. Thus, sin entered into our world, and evil entered into our world. What's the devil trying to do? The devil's whole job is to try to get us to ignore God, thus making us like him, evil, unbelieving. Because that's where he wants us to be. And the Bible explains for us exactly what unbelief is. It is living as if God has never spoken. It is believing or living as if God does not matter. And we can ignore him. That's the one thing we must make sure never happens to us. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil heart, an unbelieving heart, that shuts out what God has said and what God wants, that pays no attention to God and to what his instructions are. And he says this having just given us an example of unbelief and evil. And he describes for us what occurs in this kind of heart. And he takes us through the steps of the children of Israel. So if we look at this, starting in verse 7, coming down, we'll look at verse 8, which says this. An evil heart or an unbelieving heart is an individual that hardens their heart against what God has said. They harden their heart against it. They don't pay any attention to it. They justify themselves for being disobedient to it. But basically, what's the idea of having a hard heart? The illustration I used this morning is one that came to me from listening to Jack Exum. I've had the opportunity to listen to him several different times. If you don't know Jack Exum, you missed a treat. He was an unusual individual who illustrated everything that he said in such remarkable ways. He would have a table set up with all different kinds of things on it. And you would look at everything on that table and you would wonder, how in the world is he going to use that? And he had a reason for every single thing on the table, and they illustrated things greatly. This illustration comes from two cans that were on his table. And they were cans of Play-Doh. You remember Play-Doh? Some of you still use Play-Doh. But he would take the can of Play-Doh, one of them, and he would open it up and he would pop it out into his hand and he would talk about a heart that was submissive. And he would start squeezing that Play-Doh and it would form whatever shape he wanted it to be formed as he touched it and as he squeezed it. And as he was talking about surrendering to God and being submissive to God, and he was using this Play-Doh, he was talking about the Play-Doh being our heart and our mind. And then he would press his hand into it and say that when we are submissive to the will of God and to the Word of God, then the impression that is left is the hand of the Master. That is what it means to have a submissive heart. But if we don't have a submissive heart, he would then reach and pick up the other can of Play-Doh. And he would drop out of that can of Play-Doh this shrunken ball that hit his hand, and you could hear it hit his hand. And he would try to squeeze it, and you couldn't squeeze it at all. And he would drop it back into the can, and when it hit that metal bottom, you could hear this loud bang. Because this piece of Play-Doh had been left out of the can and exposed to the air. And it became hard as a rock. And it would not be yielding. It would not allow itself to be shaped. It would not allow itself to be formed. It was a hardened heart, paying no attention to what God has to say and to what God wants. That was the children of Israel. They had a hardened heart that stood against what God said and stood opposed to what God wanted, because they had a better way and they had a better thought in mind and they had better ideas. And so they hardened their heart against God, and they had an evil heart of unbelief. That's what we want to avoid. They also hardened their heart, or had a heart of unbelief, because they put God to the test and they tried him. And that's a little bit confusing, because there's times in the Bible when individuals are told, ask for a sign, one will be given to you. Where we're told to put God to the test. I even remember a friend of mine whose father told him, I want you to give Christianity a test for 3 months. And if it doesn't work, at the end of those 3 months, when you've given yourself to Christianity, then I will stop proclaiming the Word of God. 3 months later, that young man became a proclaimer of God's Word himself, because he put it to the test. And God calls upon us, put me to the test, see if I'm right. So what's meant here? What is meant by putting God to the test and trying him is something that comes from an evil heart and an unbelieving heart, and something we are not to do. The key is in the very next phrase in that verse. And if you're looking at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 9, you'll notice that the very next verse says, he showed himself to them for 40 years. These were the people who heard his voice from Mount Sinai. These were the people who saw the thunder and the lightning. These were the people that ate the manna every day for 40 years. These were the people that saw the cloud and followed it and turned into a pillar of fire by night. These were the people who saw all the miracles of God and the victories that were given to them every time they were faithful to God, and the problems that came every time they weren't faithful to God. What were they doing, putting him to the test? They were ignoring all the things that God was doing for them and showing them, and everything that he was doing for them in those 40 years. And they were looking at God and saying, we won't believe in you unless you do what we want you to do. And they wanted God formed in their own opinion. They wanted God formed in their own image. They wanted a God who would give them the food they wanted to eat. And they would curse the God that was giving them the manna. They wanted a God who would do things like they wanted it done. And they would refuse to believe in a God who would not be what they wanted him to be. And so God says, they saw me and what I did, and they tested me and tried me for 40 years. That's an unbelieving heart. That's a hardened heart. They had hearts in verse 10 that always go astray. They never remain faithful to God. All of them made mistakes, but these were hearts that continually turned their back on God and wanted nothing to do with what he had to say. Verse 10 again, they didn't know God's way. Oh, they knew what he said. They could quote for you the commandments. They can quote for you the instructions. But they paid no attention to them. And not knowing them means that they did not honor them. They did not subject themselves to them and submit to them. They simply ignored God, and they ignored what he said. That's an unbelieving and an evil heart. And God says, don't have it. And it's these people who had this unbelieving and evil heart that God says will never enter into his rest, because they turned away from God. They turned away from what he said. They turned away from what he did. They turned away from him. They did exactly what Eve did. They did exactly what all of humanity does. But they would not come back to him, and God would not give them his rest. There's a key word that the writer of Hebrews goes into after this reading. And that key word is the word that started the passage from the book of Psalms that he had already used in verse 7. And that key word is the word today. When do I start over today? When do I begin to have this heart that submits to God and understands God today? For as long as it's called today, the opportunity that God gives to us of turning around and starting over and being different from what we've been is every moment that we live. Today, this moment, I can start over. I can be different. I can be what God would have me to be. And so he writes in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, today, as long as it's called today, turn toward God. Get rid of this evil, unbelieving heart and trust God and come to him and encourage one another so that there won't be any unbelieving heart among you, but encourage one another to have this same heart. I want you to read with me this next part. It's Hebrews chapter 3. It starts in verse 16, coming down through verse 19. Look at what he says as he again defines for us what it means to be evil. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Who provoked God to anger? The ones who saw all the plagues? The ones who saw the dividing of the Red Sea? The ones who came to Mount Sinai and heard his voice? Every single one of them provoked God because they didn't pay any attention to him. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? They denied God and they built idols. They turned their back on everything that God said and refused to follow any of the instructions that he gave. And God said, you will not enter that promised land. And they wandered in that wilderness until all of them died. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. The word is interesting. It's an unbeliever. You put an A in front of the word and it means the opposite of. It negates it. And so you put an A in front of faith, pistos, and it becomes this unbeliever, this disobedient person. Here is translated, they were disobedient. The next verse says this. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So what is evil? To refuse belief and obedience. To refuse to listen to God. To refuse to submit to what he says. To refuse belief and obedience in God is setting God aside. Setting God aside is evil. So what one thing we don't want to be and never allow ourselves to become is an evil heart, which is the same as an unbelieving heart. As we go through this year, we want to grow faith. We want to grow trust. We want to grow obedience. We want to grow in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ, to be the people God would have us to be. Are you in Christ? Are you ready to be baptized into him? Do you need to come home to him? If you need to respond to his invitation, we'll offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.